This is part two of another collaboration with Isaac Arthur. To see part one of this collaboration and links to our previous collaboration about the concept of uplifting, check out the end screen of this video or in the description below. In part one, Isaac covered the idea of the Fermi paradox and how it may come to an eventual end, not because of alien civilizations, but our own colonization of the galaxy and what might result from that. In essence, as Isaac covered, our colonies would rapidly diverge until they no longer recognized each other as having once been the same species. Perhaps in time they might even forget that they were ever related. An explosion of intelligence may be the end result for the Milky Way, all of it unaware that it began with one species on Earth. But there is another option. Say everyone chose to remain human, or at least desire to maintain some form of a cohesive galactic human civilization. One of the fundamental problems facing a galactic humanity are the distances involved. The Milky Way is incomprehensibly huge. It takes light over 100,000 light years to cross it. Given the science that we know right now, there doesn't seem to be a way to travel faster than light, and anything that might circumvent that speed limit usually requires some form of exotic matter that we're uncertain is even possible to create. Assuming faster than light travel is not possible, the limits of the speed of light don't just constrain travel, it also constrains communications times. In this universe, information does not appear to be transmissible faster than light. If that proves to be the absolute case, then any galaxy-spanning civilization would have seemingly impossible issues to deal with when communicating. If you are 50,000 light years away from another group of humans you wish to talk to, and you used radio for communications, you would need to send out your message and then wait for them to receive it 50,000 years later, and then you'll get a message back after about 100,000 years.
Not a brisk conversation at all, and barring any sort of advances such as uploading ourselves into machines or extending human lifespans to thousands of years or more, this is probably a deal killer as far as any meaningful communications go. Without advanced technologies that can change the very basis of who we are, our nature as biological beings, communications would be arduous. With advanced technologies, this equation changes, but time is still a factor. Human cultures can change very dramatically over the course of 100,000 years. Look at our own civilization. That long ago, we were hunter-gatherers with very little in the way of technology. In the intervening time, we have learned to construct telephones, selectively breed plants in order to turn a wild plant into something that can be grown in large-scale agriculture, or, ultimately, launch a rocket, all of which have dramatically changed the cultures that adopted them.
But imagine if we took one of those early humans from 100,000 years ago and showed them a cornfield. It would look like nothing they've ever seen. Rows of plants they probably wouldn't recognize from the forms they might have known them back in ancient times had they lived in the right part of the world where they were indigenous. Something so simple as a tomato would be unrecognizable to a person in Central America that knew its predecessor, a jungle plant with berry-sized fruits, much less someone born thousands of miles away and wholly unfamiliar with the plant. As Isaac and I mentioned in our previous collaboration on uplifting, there are currently primitive humans on Earth that have no contact with the rest of the world. We used the example of the inhabitants of North Sentinel Island in the Indian Ocean, who have rebuffed all attempts at contact, and reasonably so. They have had a bad history with the outside world's attempts at contacting them. But the truth is, in a sense, they do have one form of contact. Our flotsam and shipwrecks do show up on their shores, and they are thought to fashion arrowheads and tools from them. Perhaps they know more about us than we do them. But imagine showing them a rocket launch, something far removed from anything they've ever seen. It would be utterly incomprehensible to them. Or take our antibiotic drugs that cure illnesses that they might have considered absolutely fatal. Would they consider them magic? We simply would not be able to communicate to that person just what the rocket or an antibiotic is, because we are so culturally divergent. And that's assuming you can even understand their language. Language tends to diverge when contact between peoples that speak it become isolated from one another. An example here would be the Roman Empire. While that empire was never completely culturally homogeneous, they had ethnic groups and local dialects, in fact huge portions of it spoke Greek, In the West, large parts of it spoke Latin, but by the time of the end of the Western Roman Empire, that Latin had begun to diverge locally and become what is now modern French, Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, and Romanian. It was only a matter of centuries before separation caused distinct, standalone languages to form out of Latin.
In an age of technology, this does not happen so rapidly because of how interconnected everything becomes. But when one introduces the level of separation you would have on a galactic scale, this all may become a problem again, and languages between colonies may begin to diverge quickly. At some point, they will no longer be mutually intelligible, and with enough time, could become indecipherable. So how do cultures separated by tens of thousands of years in time understand each other at all? The only way would be some form of intentional social cohesion built in from the start. But worse off than language is any hope of galactic governance over a distance. You can't wait 10,000 years for a legal ruling or political directive from Earth. Or worse, you can't wait for funding from Earth to arrive to cover your emergency asteroid deflection project. As a result, it's hard to envision any kind of empire that could ever span a galaxy, but rather a rule where all governance must necessarily be local. But with that comes varied laws, where chewing gum might be illegal on one world, or may be compulsory on another world that manufactures chewing gum.
We see this here on Earth, where every country has different laws, some of them very different from one another. But then, there have in the past been attempts to create law codes that cover multiple lands, such as English common law, or the various imperial legal codes of the past. This could hypothetically be applied to a galactic humanity, where certain situations, such as uplifting animals to be more intelligent, is banned galaxy-wide for ethical reasons. Or the creation of dangerous machine superintelligence, which might then threaten the entire galaxy should anyone create it. Perhaps there are technologies so dangerous that such a system to control them must be put into place, making some form of contact an imperative. Perhaps this could be accomplished through a network of von Neumann probes that wander the galaxy performing inspections for some central authority. Perhaps they sit in all human systems from the moment the colony is established in order to EMP that civilization back to the Stone Age should they try to pursue certain banned technologies. Such a probe could also serve as a kind of galactic law code, along with preserving an official language. Or it could be beamed out via a radio beacon, just to keep a unifying galactic reference point going for the cultures within it, even though those cultures may no longer be in direct contact with each other. You might position many such beacons at strategic intervals, so that the entire galaxy is covered to act as a sort of galactic constitution that's set during the period of initial colonization, and then adhered to indefinitely once the colonies have matured. That might help to prevent dangerous technologies from arising. But what of wars between the human colonies? We're humans, after all, and whenever humans from different groups came into contact for the first time, wars have tended to break out. But creating a standard on how to moderate disputes between neighboring star systems, a kind of galactic United Nations could be set up, that can locally moderate disputes without the need to consult planets thousands of light years away. Or perhaps even a standardized law code kept on artificially intelligent computers that cannot be altered, and always issues sound judgments. But would humans even still go to war in space? As I said earlier, the Milky Way is enormous, and that may change the equation for conquest and warfare. In past wars, conquest was usually over a border dispute or a desire to expand. This may not be the case for space, especially when one factors in the problem of population and colonizing the Milky Way. Predicting what population will do in the future is tricky. It can go up, and currently is, but it can also go down. If it goes down for us at some point over the next century or two, and the rates of growth are indeed showing a decline, then we cannot physically colonize the galaxy at all, because frankly, we don't have enough humans. The current population of Earth, about 7.4 billion people, is utterly insufficient to colonize a galaxy made up of 100 billion stars. When you have so much real estate, far more than anyone can use, would there be a need for warfare? One would hope not. The idea of things like arms races involving superintelligent machines, nickel Dyson beams, and self-replicating berserkers are unsettling at best. entire colonies destroyed by gray goo nanotechnology by another colony that they've been in slow motion conflict with for thousands of years. Whether possible or not, those kinds of things do not constitute a positive human future. But that brings up another thing that we humans certainly like to do, trade. What would trade look like should we colonize at least part of the Milky Way? The answer could possibly be not much. Crossing great distances, light years, just to trade scrap iron between star systems with no shortage of iron of their own makes no sense. It's simply too energy costly to trade goods in a sense like that. One exception to this, however, might be cultural goods. If someone were wealthy enough and wanted a certain painting or object from another human colony, and was willing to pay tremendously for it, it can hypothetically be done, of course. But real trade would likely remain confined to the transmission of information, perhaps newly developed technologies, or the schematics for the latest asteroid blaster from a colony a few tens of light years away. Future trade could be more about what an object means rather than what it's made of. But what facilitates that trade? Would that information flow freely, or would you have to maintain an electronic currency system so people can obtain the latest galactic bestsellers and be sure the author is paid? What would back that currency? Or would it simply be a fiat currency backed by the governments of the colonies? Or, should population end up being an issue, do we ultimately choose to be a stay-at-home civilization, colonizing only the solar system itself, either because there is no need to do more, such as if our population were low, or that it's simply too daunting of a task to colonize much past a few close star systems? In that sense, the solution to the Fermi paradox is simply that alien civilizations never need to become Kardashev Type 3 civilizations that are easily visible. Rather, they may be more compact and much harder to spot.
So far, we've taken this from the perspective that we are alone in the Milky Way. But a further question to ask would be, what if we aren't, and we begin to run across other intelligent civilizations looking into ways to integrate into our expanding galactic civilization? Perhaps we find them stranded on an ocean planet that they can't escape, and we uplift them from bad physiology. How would we interact with them? Would they wish to obtain cultural artifacts of us? Would obtaining alien artifacts be worth the energy to bring them back to Earth?
In other words, maybe we will solve someone else's Fermi paradox as we fill the galaxy with our civilization. The human race might be the great lawgivers of the galaxy, expanding and uplifting more primitive civilizations than ourselves. If the solution to the Fermi paradox, for example, is that intelligence is not rare, simply that intelligence that can escape its own planet is rare, then this might come to be the case. Or maybe this exists already, and we are like the Sentinelese of the Milky Way. The aliens may not communicate with us simply because they don't know how. Perhaps contact is futile and expensive, and perhaps dangerous for us. As contact with us is dangerous for primitive uncontacted tribes on Earth due to a lack of immunity to our diseases, perhaps other civilizations in the Milky Way simply stay at home and only initiate contact if it's necessary to do so. The solution to the Fermi paradox here being that we simply aren't valuable or interesting enough yet. What do we offer an advanced alien civilization? If they're more advanced, it's hard to imagine that we offer much of anything, especially if we're dealing with a machine civilization rather than a biological one. But once we do offer something, or we run into a civilization as we colonize, we may get blindsided by communications. And therein is a question. What happens if the first communication we receive from an alien civilization is a code of rules and laws and the word conform? Figuring out the basics of what would be needed to explore and colonize the galaxy is challenging. While we haven't yet seen firsthand what the logistics of colonizing the galaxy look like, as we covered in this video, this was but a taste of what we do know. For a more in-depth look at the realities of exploring and eventually colonizing suitable exoplanets, I'd recommend the course Astronomy Worlds Beyond Earth over at brilliant.org, where you will learn in-depth through exercises how to calculate and determine the habitability zones around stars where Earth-like planets suitable for human colonization might lie, and exercise and improve your math skills in the process. You'll also learn how astronomers discover exoplanets in the first place, by exploring the transit method and looking for the gravitational wobbles planets produce on their parent stars, And, finally, a segment covering the basics of interstellar travel to help you get a better feel for the realities of exploring and colonizing the Milky Way. Check that out over at brilliant.org/JMG. Thanks for listening. I am John Michael Gaudier.
And I'm Isaac Arthur, and we hope you enjoyed this collaboration.
And be sure to like, share, and subscribe to our channels for more futurism, science, and whatever may await us in this amazing universe in which we live.